It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
What do you tell someone who says, I've tried it. I've tried doing what the Bible says. I've tried living by the scriptures, and it doesn't work. What do you tell them? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I'm coming your way again, live from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Same number to call, though, 866-34-TRUTH. It's 866-348-7884. Online, you can email me, Dr. Brown. That's drbrown@askdrbrown.org. By the way, I was originally scheduled, because of some connection problems, to finish teaching here Friday afternoon, but then have a free night Friday night and fly out Saturday afternoon, except they're expecting a massive snowstorm to blow in. Friday night was able to actually get out of here, hopefully before the storm. Otherwise, we'll be fine just as it's starting up. I was thinking, you know, I'm going to enjoy a nice snowstorm in Pennsylvania with nowhere to go for a day, and then realize it might be more than a day. So that's just the weather report. For those that were wondering about the weather in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Okay, I received an email. I get lots of questions about tithing. I think I've mentioned that here and there. We addressed the question on the air. But this email asked a more profound question. This person said that they tithed regularly for years. On the one hand, they seemed to feel it was a biblical thing to do. On the other hand, they were quite sure that their pastor taught you must do this. And you know, I'm looking at another email here that says, I have no qualm with giving, but tithing is preached on sometimes 3 times a week at our churches. Someone else actually posted this comment on our forum online. So this person, on the one hand, was trying to honor the Lord. On the other hand, pastor said it should be done. But here's what they're finding. They're finding that when they're giving the first 10% to the Lord, they're short on finances now. They don't have enough money to pay their bills, and they're having to use a credit card now to cover debt. And if they didn't give the 10%, it would seem that they could be breaking even right now. And they said, look, we were trying to do the right thing and trying to honor the Lord. They said, on the one hand, we feel like we're honoring our pastor now more than we're honoring God. So obviously they have to come to scriptural conviction. But what would you tell someone like that? I've got a bunch of answers. Of course, I don't know all the details of their finances. But what would you tell someone who says, yeah, that's my situation? And it could be 100 other areas, but tithing is one that's so tangible and practical you can look at. You can look right at this thing. I see this in the Word. I'm trying to live by it. I'm trying to do the right thing. And the ship is sinking as I'm doing it. Things are getting worse as I'm doing it. What should I do? Should I continue and say, I'm just going to honor God as I fall heavier into debt? Is that foolishness? Is that the opposite of what we should do as good stewards? Because we know God doesn't want us going into debt. I mean, look, I hope you understand that if you're giving to the Lord, you don't use a credit card with the hope that maybe you'll be able to make up the money later on. I mean, if you have it, you give and you honor the Lord with the first fruits in your giving. But what do you tell someone that says, look, I've been doing it for years, but now the economy tight, whatever the situation is, we're falling behind. Do you tell that person, be pragmatic? Do you tell that person, hey, it doesn't really matter. You just do the right thing before God. Do you tell them, well, you have to come to a biblical conviction, work it out? Do you tell them, well, let's look at your overall finances. Maybe that's the bigger issue. But what if it wasn't tithing? What do you tell someone that says, I tried? I saw the Bible required a certain lifestyle. I gave my life to Jesus. I had some areas in my life where I couldn't change. I tried. I prayed. I cried out. I hit a wall. I couldn't change. It doesn't seem to be working for me. This is not someone being selfish and saying it's all about me. this is not someone saying, I'm looking for God to serve me. This is someone saying, I wanted to serve the Lord and do the right thing, and I knew he required certain things of me, but no matter what I did, no matter what I tried, I couldn't see change. It didn't seem to work, and I got discouraged, and I questioned the whole thing, or figured God just personally doesn't like me, or whatever the case is. I've met people like that have walked away, that have fallen away, or that live in constant discouragement. What do you tell them? I mean, maybe start with the tithing one. Maybe that's easier. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Someone in your family comes to you with this question. A friend, a co-worker. Someone in your church comes with the question. What would you tell them? Would you tell them, let God be true and every man a liar? Well, okay, that's in the Bible and it's true, but is that necessarily the way that we minister to people in need? Let me just address one thing. 866-34-TRUTH as you call in with your comments. Let me just address one thing. I talk often on the broadcast about same-sex issues. Not every day, not every week, but I do talk about these issues, and there are major burdens. You know, we talked about don't ask, don't tell in the military, etc. And I just want to say this to everyone listening to me today who deals with same-sex attraction. Okay, I know you're listening. It's common sense and percentages would tell me that you are. Or maybe someone in your family is struggling with this. Can I encourage you not to make this the, as if it's the sin of all sins? Or let me take this further. To have an attraction, to have a pull, is not a sin. If you find that all your life, the attractions you've had romantically, erotically, when you get pulled, it's towards the same sex, that in itself does not disqualify you from being God's family, God's kingdom. Can I encourage you, because I've met people that said, look, I got saved. I was same-sex attracted. I was living actively as a homosexual. I got saved. I quit the wrong behavior. And I prayed every day and I prayed every night for God to make me heterosexual. And I tried to date the opposite sex and it was a dramatic failure. And now I don't believe this stuff anymore. Can I encourage you, friend, because it ties in with the very subject I'm talking about. Can I encourage you to put the emphasis on holiness and intimacy with God? Not to put the emphasis on going from homosexual to heterosexual, but going from homosexual to holy. And if you'll put that as the emphasis, and right now, okay, it means a time where you're not going to be in relationship with someone if you're attracted to the same sex, because that's not what God has for you. If you go after him, if you seek him, if you walk with him, first, you can find contentment in him, and secondly, he can change you so that you can have relationship with the opposite sex. But sometimes when we just focus on the problem and then try to change that problem, we approach it in an unbiblical way. And friend, there are churches that will put their arms around you and love on you and say, hey, we all have our struggles and issues. We're going to help you. All right, let me get to the phone a little early today. John in Salt Lake City, thanks for calling.
Yes, I had a couple of comments. One on tithing. I guess a lot of people have issues with tithing, and it's already have a sour taste when they get saved or they hear about, you know, people in religion or churches. I've concluded in my life that we give with a cheerful heart. Okay, we don't give because it's mandatory or because the pastor says, you know, you got to give. We give because God has touched our heart and we want to give. And if there comes an opportunity or, I mean, a time that we can't, we don't give. We let God deal with us. And that's how we've been living. But right, we have been. Go ahead.
You would tell this person then first, okay, don't give out of a sense of obligation and don't do it because your church tells you you're supposed to. Give out of a cheerful heart and only give if you have, and if you don't have, don't get hung up on it. That's what you would tell that person.
Exactly. Don't give because it's 10%. Give what you can and be happy. you know, talk to God. God is not a taskmaster that's going to whip you. Let God deal with you. Don't let that man deal with you. God will talk to you. God will help you, and God has helped us because we've been in a church where you got to do this, you got to do that. But then, you know, I had to challenge him and say, well, what does it say that I have to give this?
Right.
It says give with a cheerful heart. And if you don't, even God doesn't want you to give if you're giving out of, I got to do this. You know what I mean?
Yep. Hey, John, we're up against the break, but thank you for the call and the comments and the perspective. Look, first things first, we got to work this out and determine, are we doing what God wants or what people want? That's first thing. But what about if we're challenged to give by faith and we may not have? Doesn't God meet us? Okay, we'll be back with more. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming away from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, live. I'm doing some teaching here and talking about what do you do when someone tells you, look, I did what the Bible says. I did what the church was telling me to do, and it doesn't work. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me at Dr. Brown. That's Dr. Brown, and askdrbrown.org. By the way, if you didn't get the e-blast from our ministry today, that means you're not on our email list. Come on. Some of you have been listening daily for months and months and still on the email list. So just remember, go to the website, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage. Click on the email list. Take you literally 30 seconds. We just announced that my commentary in the book of Jeremiah is available, and we encourage you to get hold of it if you love the word, want to dig, study, get into it if you love the book of Jeremiah. I'm just so excited after years of work and then years of waiting to see it out. So that announcement went out. I was just reminded of it again before getting back on the air. By the way, a story that I would call martyrdom here in America, two men shot and killed for preaching the gospel. I don't know if you heard about that, but I want to share that with you in a moment. I just actually stumbled on it online late last night. But back to our topic, I received an email, someone very sincere but very frustrated. They know their church teaches tithing. Their pastor's strong on it. They've tithed historically. They've given. They believe it's a good thing to do. But now as they're giving, they're falling behind in their bills. They've got to use credit cards to help pay bills, and I guess that 10% made a big difference. So what do you tell that person? Our first caller suggested that you give out of a cheerful heart and you don't just do something because the church tells you to do it. You have to be convicted by God. Now look, it's one thing when the church you're a part of, be it a mega church or a house church, whatever it is, if they say, hey, listen, we're starting our services a half hour early, we're changing times. Well, then you show up a half hour earlier as long as you're able to. Or if they say, hey, look, can we get a bunch of you to volunteer? We're doing this outreach. We need people to cook. If we could, it'd be wonderful if everybody could just to provide some baked goods. And so everyone that can do it, you do it. That's one thing. You just try to participate and be one. It's another thing when a trip can be laid on you, that a leader may be convicted of something or believe a particular thing is true. Okay, they believe a particular thing is true. And they preach it, and you come under it, but you yourself are not convicted. You yourself don't have this written in your heart. One of the New Covenant realities is that we're all taught by God, okay? One of the New Covenant realities is that we now have a personal relationship with Him by the Spirit. It's not like in the Old Testament where you'd have to go to a prophet who would tell you what God's will would be. Doesn't mean there aren't people speaking prophetically today. It means it's a different relationship. You don't go to someone and say, please tell me God's will. So it's really important that you're convicted by God about something, that you feel that God wants you to do a particular thing, and you're not just doing it because the church says it. That's how people get into a lot of religiosity. That's how people get into somewhat of a religious trip, because this is the tradition of the church or the way we've always done it, or what the pastor or leader says. And look, I'm a leader. I believe in walking in humility and with a submissive heart. but I'm not going to let somebody put me under a trip where I now feel a religious obligation to do something that I'm not personally convicted of. So when it comes to the tithing issue or some other issue, don't just try to do the thing because someone told you you should. Become convicted of it. Go to the Word. Go to God and say, Father, is this what you are really saying? Is this what you are really speaking? Is this your will? If so, I'll obey at any cost. But what happens if, quote, you're doing it, you're honoring God, you're obeying, you're giving, and it doesn't seem to be working? Okay, the counsel of our first caller is wise, and I appreciate that, and I'm glad to see that that's worked out in his life and his family. But what if you read the Word and you're convicted you're supposed to give of the first fruits? So in other words, you get your salary, and then let's say you're convicted to tithe off the gross, and off the gross, well, one pastor said, well, you want God to bless the gross or the net. So these are all faith things. See, God's trying to stretch us in faith and teach us things in faith to get us to be more people of faith that we can serve him more effectively and walk with him more closely. Okay, so you tithe off the first fruits. So let's just say you get a $1,000 check. Let's just say that particular month you have $1,000 in bills and groceries. Or that week that you're getting that check, and you say, all right, I'm going to honor God with the first fruits, and I believe I should tithe. That's a good biblical principle. Let's just say your conviction. So you give $100, okay? You give $100. Now you're $100 short. Is that grocery money you're short or paying a bill? God doesn't want you delinquent on your bills and use a credit card to pay a bill or not have groceries, right? So what if the extra $100 doesn't come in? Oh, yeah, I'm sure you could flood the phone lines. Now, if I open them up for this, you could flood the phone lines with calls about miraculous provision. I'm sure you could. Maybe one day we'll have testimonies of people that stepped out in faith in different ways. And yeah, I gave, and there was no money, and God did this. And yeah, I trusted God. I felt convicted I was to give, and he did this. Friends, I've seen it for years. I know so many folks in our home church, Fire Church, have seen it for years. Students in our School of Ministry, Fire School of Ministry, they've seen it for years. I know of businesses that have prospered supernaturally as they gave first and honor God first and so on. You do that and the money doesn't come in. And you do it again and the money doesn't come in. Now you're falling behind. Now you got credit card debt because you were tithing. What do you tell that person then? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Some of you are saying, are you ever going to ask like an easy question? Like, what's the first book of the Bible and what's the last book of the Bible? Well, no, probably not really easy questions on the show because the goal is to get us thinking. Look, I do apologetics. Most of you know that. So within the last few weeks, I've had debates. I mean, a certain level of debates on the radio. We can only go so far about the deity of Jesus. And then about Calvinism, and in fact, this coming February 8th, I'm debating Sir Anthony Buzzard again on the issue of the deity of Jesus and the preexistence of the Son. And then later in the month, I'm supposed to debate on cessationism. And then March, debating a rabbi, God willing, in Florida about Jesus. Was he the Messiah? Was he a madman? Or was he a misrepresented Jew? And then the month after that, Professor Bart Ehrman and I are supposed to debate at Ohio State University, April 15th, on God and the Problem of Suffering. And then in the month of March, everyone that knows about Charlotte 1, young professionals in Charlotte between the ages of 18 and 35, I'll be doing three talks, God willing, the 2nd, the 9th, the 23rd of March, and then being part of a panel discussion March 30th, apologetic issues, tough controversial issues. I thrive in that. I love that atmosphere. In fact, I have some comments after. Well, tell you what, I'll finish up. I got a break here. Let me finish up and get to where I'm going about the questions that throw me that are hard. And Teresa, you're up next. Stay with us here in the Line of Fire.
The Truth Radio Network.
Newsflash, prayer is not a...
Back. Line of Fire, Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you, coming your way from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. One more day here, and then going to fly home before the big storm hits. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me directly at Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, at AskDrBrown.org. Okay, right before the break, I was talking about how I love debate, apologetics, et cetera. Real eager to get into the Calvinism thing in more depth with Dr. James White. I made some comments after we did our two shows together on my broadcast, and he made comments on my comments. And trust me, I want to get into this deeper and really exegete the word because I'm quite sure where the truth of the word leads on the subject. However, that being said, debater, apologist, all this, you know, the simple questions, like a little child would come to you with questions, and I'm like, that's a tough question. And many times, Nancy, just reading through the word, my bride of almost 34 years now, reading through scripture, and she'll just ask one of these really fundamentally important life questions. I'm like, that's a good question. So that's why I'm raising these things. You know, the apologetic stuff is great, and we do it, and we talk about it some, and we've got all these resources and free resources on our website. Sometimes it's just, okay, how do I live this out? It doesn't seem to be working out. What do I do? That's where the rubber meets the road, friends, isn't it? So what do we say? How do we approach it? 866-34-TRUTH. Teresa in Clayton, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
So I've been listening to your show for like a week now. I really like it.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, it's great. So I was calling in because y'all were talking about the tithing. And I've been a tither, you know, my whole life. My parents, you know, they've been tithers their whole lives and stuff. And, yeah, you talked about the miraculous, you know, coming through of money. And we've seen that happen. But without that being said, you know, with this particular instance that you're talking about, I came to a crisis, you know, I guess a year or so ago in my life where I felt like tithing was a law, you know, and I kind of came to the realization that there were a bunch of different stuff. I'd tried to change myself in so many areas, and I wasn't seeing anything change, and I had for so long suppressed things, desires of myself to, you know, be a good Christian. I wanted to honor God with my life, and I just couldn't do it anymore, so I came to a crisis, and the Lord really began to open my eyes to the gospel of grace, and just, you know, that we're saved by grace and everything is by grace, you know. And but with the tithing issue, you know, with that being said, I do believe in tithing, but I don't believe it's a law. Like, tithing was, I guess, was it Abraham tithed way before the law was ever given. Like, tithing was never supposed to be a law. And under the new covenant, I believe that we tithe because God is good to us financially, not to make him good to us financially. But if you can't tithe, I guess the verse that came up in my head was Psalms 37:25. It says, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. It doesn't say the tither forsaken. It says the righteous. So I believe, I totally believe it's God provides for us because we're righteous, not because we tithe. And do I tithe? Yes. I tithe because God is the sponsor of my wealth. I tithe because God is good to me financially, I believe, whether I tithe or not. But I do tithe that 10%. I believe when you tithe the first 10%, it makes the 90% holy. So I feel like my 90% gets stretched longer than someone who doesn't tithe.
Right. So you've continued to give, but you've done it in a different spirit, different attitude, and you feel released from the burden of it. And now free
Absolutely.
To just, okay, got it. Hey, thank
Absolutely.
You for the call, and
yeah.
Thank you for listening, Teresa. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. I'll continue to listen. Have a great day.
Great. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me emphasize again, whatever you're doing, you got to be convicted that this is the word. You got to be convicted that this is what God is saying. You can't just do it because you heard it from other people. Maybe you start out from the Lord like that. What do I do? How do I do it? But once you're walking with him, you got to come to your convictions before God. And I'm going to give some more thoughts on this. I want to take some calls. But I did mention in the program, people saying, look, I'm saved. I had same-sex attractions. I tried to become heterosexual. I couldn't. Now I've walked away from the Lord or reading the Bible differently, and now it's fine to be gay and Christian. And I said the right approach is to say the emphasis should be on holiness as opposed to heterosexuality. But Kenneth in Durham, I understand you want to talk about something related to that, so thanks for calling the program.
Yes. Hi. I hope you're doing well. It really breaks my heart to see all the sexual pain that's out there in the world these days. And I think so much of the problem comes from people not doing what God wants them to do. And when there's a lot of sexual experimentation, of course, there'll be sexual chaos, and you know, the desires of the heart might be sick. You know, if you think about human anatomy, homosexuality is unnatural. It's a perversion. But I think also womanizing like Tiger Woods did is unnatural. And there's a lot of I think that the problem really comes from people wanting to be uncommitted and get their kicks off, and that means that they don't get married. They hook up with people who they don't even know really, and so that really we can't look at the homosexual people who are doing homosexual practicing as worse than Tiger Woods.
Isn't it the truth though, Kenneth, that if just think of this, some guy in the church, right, tells the other guys that he's struggling with same-sex attraction, he's struggling with attraction to other men, but he's not acting on it, so he's not actually doing anything, he's just struggling, and it's there, right, but that person will get cast out and looked at funny, and if somebody else says, you know, man, I've been sleeping around for years, I've been with like 15 different women in the last year, and I'm trying to get my act together, it's like, hey, man, we'll help you. And so we've got this double standard.
I'm kind of calling to complain about the double standard, where some forms of sexual perversion, such as over like sexual addiction, sex addicts anonymous or whatever it is, is given favor, and then again some of that. Crazy sex out the wazoo is sharply frowned upon.
Yeah, and you know, you're right, Kenneth. There's a lot of pain out there and brokenness, and there's a lot of experimentation and all kinds of sin, and so much of it goes. When you said it's unnatural, like, what God intended was one man, one woman for life, or until death do us part. And you get away from that fundamental commitment of the joining of lives, and society breaks down. And I've said publicly, even talking to gay activists, that heterosexuals have done more to destroy marriage than homosexuals. And we've got to come to biblical standards, recognize there's a broken, fallen world, and all sin is the same at the foot of the cross. So, hey, we got a break, but Kenneth, thank you for calling, and may God use you to bring healing and repentance to many. All right, we'll be back. Stay with us. Okay, I'm going to get back to this tithing issue. I appreciate the call and the input thus far. I want to give some of my own thoughts on what you tell the person says, I gave, I tithed, I tried, I'm falling into debt as a result of giving my 10%, it's not working. I want to address that. 866-34-TRUTH, if you'd like to weigh in, email me at Dr. Brown, that's drbrown at askdrbrown.org. But first, I want to share the story. I was reading one news story online and then happened upon this. Have you heard about this? This is Palm Beach, Florida, February 3rd, since yesterday. Jeriah Woody executed two men who made the mistake of preaching religion to the 18-year-old, the witnesses told police. According to the story, there were two men, Stephen Ocean and Tute Sufra. They had turned their lives around recently. I don't know what their background was, but obviously wasn't going in the best direction. Arrests, different charges, things like that. And for one of them, for Ocean, no arrest records or jail records for Sufra. Anyway, their lives have been turned around. They walking with another person, going into this neighborhood, preaching. One of the sisters said they go around and minister to boys and say where they came from. They did that all day and all night, so they're preaching the gospel. They go up and start preaching to this one guy, 18 years old. They're talking to him about 15 minutes. He gets a call on his cell phone. So there are three of them, three preaching. One of them survived to tell the story. And they begin to walk away after the guy gets the phone call. They see the guy running towards them. This guy they've been preaching to, running towards them. He shoots and kills one of them. The other guy tries to run, shoots and kills. He drops him right to the ground, shoots him in the buttocks. The guy falls to the ground, and he just walks right up to him and shoots him in the head, execution style. Third man's able to get away and call police, and then the guy turns himself in. Wouldn't that be called martyrdom? Well, they didn't know that if they preached, they would die. But often you don't know that. They were out preaching the gospel, and according to the story, unless there's more to it than we hear, according to the story, they were killed for preaching the gospel. Obviously, somebody got offended, upset, whatever happened, but it happened. I haven't heard that reported anywhere. I don't know if you have, but I wanted to share it with you. I spotted it last night. I wanted to make sure I shared it with you. Okay, David in Charlotte, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and let me just say I really, really enjoy this show. I'm a fairly new listener, and it's very, very enjoyable to listen to.
Well, thank you, David.
You're welcome. In regards to the tithing, I agree with the previous caller, and I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but when I first was saved, I went to a church in California, basically Calvary Chapel, and what they had an agape box. And as you entered into the church, you were just compelled to put whatever you wanted into the agape box. They never had a collection, and you know, God moved mightily and took care of their needs. So I just wanted to throw that out there and see what you thought about that, and I'll take your response off air.
Okay, well, thanks, David, and thanks for being a listener. You know, the church that I know with the biggest budget in a well. The biggest giving percentage in America, and that right now they get well over $1 million a week in tithes. They don't have an offering plate. They don't pass it. They have boxes in the back, and people give as they're prompted to give. But this church, probably great majority of the people there tithe and beyond. Anyway, just mentioning that. John and Raleigh, we've got about a minute before the break, so join right in.
Yeah.
If you turn the radio down, that'd be great.
Mine's off. Mine's been off. Can you hear me? Yeah, I was.
Can
I weigh in on the homosexual, heterosexual question?
Yes, please.
One thing that hadn't been mentioned is if you go back in the Old Testament, you see many of the patriarchs who had concubines, and those were all heterosexual relationships. So there is some precedence, and I think it's way more natural. For me, I'm not saying it's right, and I'm saying when the New Testament, I agree with what y'all are saying, that all sins are equal, and it's usually lumped together with, you know, many sins, and then homosexuality. But I think that homosexuality in and of itself is extremely unnatural, and therefore I think, and it's, you know, I think it's more perverted than heterosexual sex with numerous women. And Solomon...
Right, so what...
Hundreds, yeah, thousands of concubines.
Right.
David,
right.
Abraham.
So we're out of time. That's why I'm cutting in, John. But one you would say is unnatural. The other would be out of control. So
Right. That's why people don't accept it.
Got it. All right, all clear. Hey, what do you think of John's point that there's something fundamentally unnatural about it? All right, we'll I'm going to sum this up and give you my closing thoughts about both these issues. Stay with us.
Sing. Right.
I got a lot to say and only a few minutes to say it, so I'm going to go for it. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. And okay, let me first respond to the comments about the sexual issues. On the one hand, there's no question that a man having sex with a man in God's sight is more of a violation of the created order than a man having sex with many different women. That is out of control and completely contrary to the covenantal nature of sex and the two becoming one. But in terms of fundamental order, yes, in that sense, I would say that homosexual sin is more of a violation of the fundamental order. But for someone that's same-sex attracted, it's, quote, natural for them, just like it's natural for a heterosexual to be attracted to the opposite sex. All the more when someone comes to the Lord struggling, we need to help them and not be, look, if I know a guy was attracted to me, that would seem gross to me, okay? If I knew some girl was attracted to me, that would be wrong and something I'm not going to, like, open my heart to, oh, she's attracted to me, okay? That would be wrong, but it wouldn't be gross thing of, ew, that it's the same sex thing. It's natural as heterosexuals to have those reactions, but when we're dealing with someone that's lost or that needs help, the greater thing that must fill our lives is the love and compassion of God, and I think any of the callers that called in would agree with that. But yeah, on the fundamental level, one thing you might call unnatural, and the other thing would be more out of control, but both sin, both wrong, both destructive. Okay, what about the tither? So first, let me emphasize again what other callers have said that I fully agree with. If you're tithing, however you're giving, just make sure you're convicted by God, that you're not just doing it because other people do it or other people have told you to do it, because you can't do it in faith, you can't do it with a whole heart, you can't do it in, it's just not going to work, all right? So that's the first thing. Make sure that you're convicted by God. Then if you say, well, I'm giving and needs aren't being met, well, that's probably where Dave Ramsey kind of teaching comes in to say, let's look at the budget. Perhaps you're living in certain ways that are not the best way to live. Perhaps, no, I don't know the case. I don't know the individual situation. But perhaps if you're convicted by God that you're supposed to give the first fruits and things are not falling into place, maybe you need to look at budget. Maybe you need to look at lifestyle. Maybe other changes need to come, and God and giving is not going to be like rubbing a bottle and the genie comes out, okay? So you say, well, okay, but no, we're living as frugally as we can. We still don't have. Then what I just say is, all right, don't fall further into debt. Put whatever money you have into meeting needs, and let's really pray, and let's step back and say, okay, what can we do in faith? Can we honor God with $5? Can we honor God with $10, $50? And wherever that faith is, begin from there, and I believe as we do honor God and we put Him first, whatever it is, with our time, with our efforts, with our energies, with our finances, that we will see blessing, that we will see Him honoring His promise, and that those who seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, which works itself out in 1,000 different ways, will see the blessing of God. Hey, listen, I've got one last thing to say that's really important. We're living in a dark generation. Oh yeah, it's been dark since Adam fell. We're living in a dark generation with urgent needs, and God is looking for people that He can entrust with His power, with His authority, with His anointing, with His word, that can be trained and equipped to go to the nations, to go all over America, to make a difference for Jesus. We have a place where you can be trained. We have a place where you can be equipped to fulfill that calling and go out and be a world changer here in America and to the nations. I challenge you to find out about Fire School of Ministry and find out about God's purpose for this generation, how you can fit into it. We have Discover Fire Days, March 4th and 5th, Thursday night, March 4th, Friday day, March 5th. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Fire School of Ministry. Find out more about this. Maybe God's calling you to make a difference in this generation. We'll be back with you tomorrow.
The Truth Radio Network.